Welcome to this tour of the world of the art on the Noerdam. Now don't worry, this isn't going to be one of those dull museum tours that requires a couple of hours of close attention. You don't even have to whisper. But we'll give you a starting point to help you appreciate some of the art treasures aboard this beautiful ship. I'm Paul Lasley.
And I'm Elizabeth Harriman. We're going to take you around the Noerdam and show you some of these art treasures.
Let's begin the tour right here in the Explorations Café. Have a seat and get comfortable in one of those comfy chairs or couches while we explain just a little about the tour.
Now, you might think of this cruise as a visit to a great estate that has some wonderful works of art. You might see a piece you really like, say, on your way to dinner or one of the lounges. Well, during your cruise, you can live with it and really begin to appreciate it.
But first, a little background. Art has always been important to Holland America, and traditionally the ships have always been filled with notable art. Today, the collection ranks among the largest at sea, and it's worth many millions of dollars. As you'll see as we take you on the tour, the art includes many museum-quality antiques, as well as some contemporary art by recognized artists, as well as some newcomers. Stein Kruse, president and CEO of Holland America Line, explains how important the art is to the line's heritage.
When Holland America Line was founded in 1873, our company quickly became a leader in bringing new and modern innovations to cruising. And to this present day, we continue that proud tradition. As you follow along on this art tour, notice how our architect Frans Dingemans has created a unique environment for you to enjoy. And Frans has placed the art very carefully to create a comfortable setting where you can enjoy all the onboard experiences we have for you.
Architect Frans Dingemans of Utrecht in the Netherlands has designed the interiors of each of the Holland America Line ships. And everything, the colors, the fabrics, the furniture, even the ceilings and floors, are meant to be a part of the whole look and feel of the ship.
Holland America Line always decorated their ships with contemporary art, modern art, and conventional art to bring together an art collection, total environment of the ship and the rooms you're sitting in. The way you do that is basically following your own heart.
Dingemans incorporates certain themes into each ship. Now here on the Noerdam, which is the last in the series of four Vista-class ships, well, Dingemans has created a theme that reflects the elegance and the glamour of cruising through the use of art and decor. Dingemans even carries out the feeling in the stateroom hallways and in doorways throughout the ship.
Now, before we begin, just a word about your iPods. You'll find helpful directions on the back. And also, feel free to pause your iPod at the end of some of the chapters and at any time during the tour to give yourself time to get to the location of the next artwork, or if you'd like more time to admire something.
Chapter 2. Explorations Café, Deck 3, Promenade Deck, Forward. Let's begin the tour right here on Deck 3, the Promenade Deck in the Explorations Café.
Throughout this room, you'll see design elements that underscore the value of knowledge and learning. For instance, in the ceiling, you'll see books. Well, not really books, but a design motif that characterizes the room.
Well, you'll find as we take you around the ship, you should look up and down. Some of the most interesting design features are in the ceilings and floors. Chapter 3. Explorations Café. Deck 3. Promenade Deck. Forward.
My favorite work in this room is the large marble table. Look at the intricacy of the mosaic. Artisans in the town of Pietrasanta in Italy created this design by taking tiny bits of marble in hundreds of different shades and placing them in just the right places to create this amazing table. You know, Pietrasanta means holy stone. It's a town in Tuscany, and it's where Michelangelo went to get his marble. You can see the marble quarries in the distance at the tops of the mountains. And what looks like snow at the top is really white marble dust. Artists from all over the world still come to Pietrasanta to buy their marble and to work. Also, note the amazing craftsmanship of the marble table, which looks centuries old. It's the creation of Gilbert Labigre and Corinne Roger, a husband and wife couple who live and work near Pietrasanta in Italy.
Fortunately, By the demand of the VFD office and Mr. Dingemann, we had the chance to experiment a lot of different words of crafting and high end craft, and especially the marble was a passion we always had, and we have been entering it just through our experience of what was the church, for instance, in Siena or in the San Marco Basilica, where you have this unbelievable stone with incredible colors and precious materials, where the people, by walking on them, are just smoothing the surface and this. And so, with the Florentine way of doing mosaic and all of this, we have been getting into that, and we have worked to make these tables. We're very fond of them. We like them. We're quite proud of that collection. Yeah.
And when you see the Internet Center part of the Explorations Cafe, be sure and look up. You'll see the marvelous ceiling by Le Bigre and Roger, with reproductions of heads from fountains in Florence. They're made of Eco Deco. Well, you'll hear more about Eco Deco later. But notice how Dingemans has put ultra-modern furniture under that Baroque ceiling. Now let's continue the tour. Walk out of the library and to your right. That's toward the front of the ship. We'll start our next chapter there. Chapter 5, Observation Deck, Deck 10, Crow's Nest, Forward. Coming out of the elevator or from the stairwell, notice the colored glass windows and the effect of the light streaming through. It kind of adds to that feeling of elegance we told you about, huh?
And look at this ship model in the staircase above you. It's a partially complete scale model of a Dutch East India ship from the 17th century. The detail of models like this is what makes them so valuable to historians. Often they're the only record we have of certain ships and certain periods.
Now, heading forward into the starboard side of the Crow's Nest, let's take a side trip into the Oak Room, or Smoker's Lounge. Chapter 6, Observation Deck, Deck 10, Oak Room, Starboard and Forward.
Okay, this is where the tour gets, well, just a little serious. Museum-quality paintings a couple of hundred years old. But stay with us, you'll be glad you did, and we promise you later on in the tour, we'll meet up with Dizzy Gillespie and B.B. King.
Check this out. The oil painting is of the city of Utrecht, painted in 1842. Boats are moored along a waterfront that no longer exists. Women are doing laundry, and the highest church tower in the Netherlands dominates the city. The Dome. It was started in 1321, and it took 61 years to build. It still towers over the city today. Utrecht is a great place to visit whenever the ship calls in Rotterdam or Amsterdam.
Also, take time to admire the tile panel of a gentleman. The first ones were brought from Italy in the 16th century and are extremely valuable. It comes from the Noordam III. We'll find other pieces from that ship here on Noordam IV. But we'll leave you to find them as you explore. And see the Asian ceramic roof brackets on the mantelpiece? These are quite old, dating from the Ming Dynasty, which lasted from 1368 to 1644. There's also another small ship model from 1812, and on the opposite wall, a collection of 17th century clay pipes.
Chapter 7, Observation Deck, Deck 10, Crow's Nest, Starboard and Forward. Now let's head back out the door and into the Crow's Nest on the starboard side, forward. Notice the porcelain work and also the interesting art on the wall. The hydrangeas by Roo Vander of the Netherlands. It's done with acrylic paints on aluminum, but notice the pastel shades of the hydrangeas. The Dutch work very hard to grow very blue flowers, more the color of the wall behind the painting. In a way, the color on the wall is a comment on the art of growing flowers. Now, remember when we encouraged you to look up and down frequently? will notice the inlaid floor and the colored ceiling here in this room. It's a marvelous detail, which you can so easily miss. Well, here's Holland America Captain John Scott.
We spend a lot of money on art on board of our ship, and it is very, very visual on board of our ship. We have different types of art. We have modern art. We have antiques. Also, we have a lot of art integrated in the architectural design, because it's not only the art that everybody visually sees, like the sculptures, pictures, but if you actually take a moment and you're in a certain public room and you look around, you look at the ceilings, you look at the floors, you look at the walls, you suddenly actually realize that there is a lot of art integrated into the architectural design.
Now walk around to the port side of the Crow's Nest, and as you pass by the bar on your way to the port side, notice the paintings on the back. They're of Dizzy Gillespie and B.B. King. They're part of a series of pastels on paper of various jazz musicians by Will Vanderlaan of the Netherlands. You'll see a different take on these jazz greats later on.
Now over on the port side is a very interesting painting of the Netherlands coast. It was painted in the 18th century. Again, notice how the colors on the wall accentuate the colors in the painting. Chapter 8, Observation Deck, Deck 10, Crow's Nest, Portside.
And take a moment to admire the craftsmanship of an interesting boat model. It's a rescue boat, and the accuracy of detail is remarkable. The Holland America collection of historic ship models rivals that of many museums.
Fritz Lohmeyer is the executive director of the Maritime Museum in Rotterdam. It's widely considered one of the best in the world, and he's very familiar with the art on board Holland America Line ships.
But from the view of a curator, a museum's curator, it is the historical context, really. People nowadays can enjoy it, and they can see if they really look, and that you have to learn perhaps, what is the difference between real art quality or real ship models and remakes. Well, it is again a source of knowledge, and it gives you not only a picture but a feeling, and if you are really interested in understanding of what maritime life is. Paintings, drawings, etches are one of the main sources for historical research of 17th century earlier shipping, because we don't have so many written sources, and we certainly don't have many ship models.
And that, according to Lohmeyer, is what makes the collections of maritime antiques aboard Holland America ships so valuable.
And before you leave the Crow's Nest, don't miss the small paper diorama made in the 19th century by Hauptmann.
And on your way out, on the port side, heading aft, back to the stairway and elevator, be sure and look to your left. You'll see a carving of a woman from the wreck of the HMS Anson in 1781. You may think this adorned the bow of that doomed vessel, but it was actually a stern carving, and perhaps one of two which adorned the stern. Very beautiful and centuries old.
Now for the next chapter, we're going to exit the Crow's Nest port side and take the stairs or the elevator to Deck 9, Lido Deck.
For now, please put your iPods on hold and we'll meet you on Deck 9, the Lido Deck. That's one deck down.
Chapter 9, Lido Deck, Deck 9, Forward.
Well, here in the elevator lobby, the first thing you'll want to notice are these remarkable carved light fixtures. They're made of wood by Ray Gonzalez in England. You'll see them in several places all over the ship.
Gonzalez is one of the leading carvers in England today, and he did these in lime wood because the fine grain allows him to capture tiny details.
Now, heading out on the Lido deck, past the therapy pool on the left, to the pool deck. Go to the bronze dolphins leaping from the end of the pool. You can't miss them since they're over 10 feet high. And how many dolphins do you see?
Well, you might want to answer 5. But Susanna Holtz, the sculptor, has fooled us all, because in reality, there's only one. Susanna told us that the work actually represents the various movements of just one dolphin as it leaps through the air. Well, she spent months watching dolphins to get just the right feeling in the work.
Notice the silvery gray finish on the bronze. That's patina, and it's put on in the foundry when the work is finished. Susanna used silver nitrate in the finish on these to get just the right effect. And if you're wondering, well, the whole sculpture weighs just a bit over 2 tons.
Now, if you've traveled on other Holland America Line ships, you've probably seen Holst dolphins, as well as maybe a couple of polar bears and even some grizzlies. She loves animals, and she's recognized as one of the finest sculptors working with animals in the world today.
For her, dolphins are perfect for the ship. They travel and explore their world with a smile. What I find interesting is how she does the work.
First of all, I start with my imagination. I have to study the animal in the wild as much as it's possible to do. And then I produce drawings from those ideas, and then I develop a tiny model in wax on flexible wire support. And that I can manipulate easily, so I can get the flow and the movement of the animal at that stage, which is easy to pull around. When I have the movement and the flow I'm after, then I make a quarter life size. And every detail at that stage has to be perfect, because you don't change a whole lot from that stance. We then make a rubber mold from this model, and then plaster castings from the mold. And then from these plaster castings, we do the enlargement to life size. Then we make more rubber molds of the life size section. This takes a lot of time. The bronze can only be 3/8 of an inch thick, or the sculpture would distort and be too heavy. So we then chip away the ceramic shell and weld all the pieces together, heads, flukes, flippers, and so on.
You have many months of actual work involved in this, don't you?
Many months. And within the internal part of the dolphin, there is a very complex pattern of steel support that supports the extreme cantilever and the weight. So the enlargement of the molds itself takes approximately 5 months, and the casting is about the same. So it requires me to study the dolphin well in advance.
Being a sculptor is hard work. Well, after contemplating the leaping dolphin, continue toward the aft part of the pool area and stop at the Lido Bar. Notice the light fixtures, the floors, and even the chairs. Everything is designed to be part of the whole art environment. And in case you haven't noticed it, parts of the deck give the illusion that you're looking down into an aquarium filled with fish. It's quite an illusion.
Well, even the bar stools are in the shape of smiling dolphins. That's a nice design. Also, notice the Eco Deco pineapples. They're an old symbol of hospitality. Do you know that pineapples were so valuable in England in the 18th century that they even figured out how to grow them? In one garden, at least. But that's a story for another time.
Chapter 10, Lido Deck, Deck 9, Lido Restaurant, Starboard. Let's go into the Lido Restaurant for a moment and see a very interesting piece of sculpture. Just past one of the buffets on the starboard side of the ship, you'll see the carved wooden statue of Jupiter. Now, it's from the Noordam III. There are many pieces from that ship on board. Notice the fine detail and also the finish of the wood. This was lovingly cared for on the Noordam III. Okay, now let's head for something a little different. Ever wonder how much research goes into an artist's work? Well, we'll show you. Let's retrace our steps and go forward to the stairs where we started on this deck. And don't worry, we're going down, not up.
We're going to head for what we like to call the vertical art gallery.
Chapter 11, Lido Deck, Deck 9, Forward.
In the forward staircase on each landing, you'll notice a large marine painting. They're oils and painted by one of the world's leading marine painters, Captain Stephen J. Card.
Fritz Lohmeyer of the Maritime Museum in Rotterdam has some perspective on this art.
And now you see the historical paintings of Stephen Card. Beautifully done, precisely picturing the historical ships of the Holland America Line, looking back to the history of the company, and in the post-war period, when Europe had to be built up again people were not looking back, they were looking forward. That's the difference between the 1950s and the era we are living in now. But it, in both cases, it says a lot about how we are and what our perspective is.
First, it helps to know that each painting is of some historical ship in the Holland-America line. Now, three previous Holland-America ships carried the Noordam name. Each of these paintings is meticulously detailed and accurate for its time. Card told us that each painting he does is like visiting an old friend. He grew up in the 60s in Bermuda, and he saw all the classic Holland-America line ships as they called there.
And being in Bermuda is what got Card his start as a marine painter. He grew up with a love of the sea and was a navigator, sea captain, and harbor master. Then, one day in 1984, when Card was home in Bermuda, he received a call from Nico van der Vorm, then chairman of Holland America Line. Van der Vorm had seen a painting Card had done of a ship and asked him if he'd be interested in painting pictures of the 1980s Noordam and New Amsterdam, as well as a new portrait of the line's flagship, the Rotterdam. Stephen Card soon learned that his maritime background helped his new endeavor. I always have a knowledge of the sea and of how ships operate, he says, and that enables me to create accurate paintings of the ship. His paintings hang in the collections of several museums and on all the Holland America Line ships. All the paintings that Card has done for Holland America Line are collected in the book Holland America Line, The Spotless Fleet. But here, you can see the originals of his work on the Noordam. Ever wonder how an artist gets started?
Well, I've always painted. As a young boy, I painted various pictures. But when I was 17, I went away to sea, and I worked at sea for 13 years, rising through the ranks and eventually became captain on cargo ships. And I came back to Bermuda in 1984 and worked for a couple of years as harbor master. And then after that, I was not a very good civil servant, shall we say, and I decided to go back to sea, and while waiting for a job, I took up painting again. And then I sold a couple of paintings and decided to take up a full-time career as an artist.
So, as we walk down the staircase, we first see these beautiful Card pencil sketches and a tile panel of the Holland America logo done in Delft tile. That's wonderful.
Continuing further down, between decks 8 and 7, is a marvelous painting of the Noordam 4, outbound from Bermuda.
And when you pass the deck 7 elevator lobby, take a minute and notice the aluminum shell chairs. Now, if you guessed they're by Le Bigre and Roger, well, you're right. And overlooking them are tiles inlaid in marble. They're replicas of tiles from the Taj Mahal. Dingemans had them made larger than in real life to show the incredible detail of the original. Imagine an entire building decorated in intricately detailed marble and precious stones.
Heading further down between deck 7 and 6, we see more of the Noordam legacy with the Noordam 3 cruising in Alaskan waters in 1996.
Between deck 6 and 5 is a painting of the Noordam 2. Now that was in service from 1938 to 1963. This painting is titled Running Trials in the North Sea, 1938. It really captures the feeling of being on the open ocean.
And rounding out the Card collection, just before Deck 4, is the Noordam 1, which sailed from 1902 to 1928. He shows her here outbound from New York. Well, it's about 1905. Did you know that according to Card, this ship was the first Dutch ship equipped with telegraph? In the film The Titanic, James Cameron shows that one of the ice warnings that Titanic received was from this Noordam.
Wow! Well, now, as you reach deck 4 in the forward staircase, you'll see more reproductions of flowers in marble and precious stones as they appear in the Taj Mahal in India. Look again at the amazing workmanship. Below them is a cast aluminum bench by Le Bigre and Roger.
Now, we should say that there are many more works by other artists in both the midships and aft staircases, but we'll let you explore them at your leisure during the cruise.
Well, we got plenty of exercise on this forward staircase, but we hope you agree that the quality of this maritime art made it well worth the workout.
Now for our next chapter, we're going down just two more decks to Deck 2, the lower promenade deck. So please place your iPods on pause, and we'll meet you just outside the elevators.
Chapter 12, Deck 2, Lower Promenade Deck, Forward. From the forward stairs and elevators, we're going to head aft on the starboard side of the ship. You'll see the piano bar on your left. Check out the photographs of music greats like Dizzy Gillespie and B.B. King. They're done by Paul Bergen in the Netherlands, either during or after performances. Bergen is considered one of the world's leading photographers of musicians. Pause a bit when you look at these and see if you think it's true that he's captured, well, something of the soul of the performer.
Oh, and incidentally, if you're wondering how the piano bar revolves and doesn't tangle all those wires, well, it's the same technology used in huge shipyard cranes that have the same challenge.
Chapter 13, Deck 2, Lower Promenade Deck, Forward. Next, we come to the sports bar, which is just aft of the piano bar. And here, you'll see an incredible bust in red marble of Athena. It's from the 1820s. Not only the color, but the workmanship is truly remarkable. It's another example of how Dingemans combines various art styles to create this elegant atmosphere on the Noordam. Chapter 14, Deck 2, Lower Promenade Deck, Forward.
Oh yeah, and as we head down the corridor, check out the remarkable carved wooden 17th century Baroque columns. They're flanking an amazing inlaid chest. Notice the gold lions or dragons as the feet? It's inlaid with ebony and precious stones and is a tour de force of workmanship and extremely valuable. It was made in Germany in 1885, and it's one of the most valuable pieces of furniture on the ship.
I just wonder how long it took a craftsman to put in all the inlaid mother of pearl and ivory. Oh, not to mention the secret drawers. Oh, yeah. Oh, yes, there are secret drawers in it. I think it might be like, you know, where you leave a note for your lover. Roy von Bimsbergen is in charge of art installation, and he works on all the displays of art and artifacts on the ship. Now, according to him, even the display cases on the Noordam have a story.
Absolutely. Yes, we use a lot of showcases to protect the artworks, but you can't have any air movement inside or temperature rise. So we use fiber optics inside to keep the temperature low.
And VFD was one of the pioneers in doing this. I mean, now it's being adopted by museums all over the world.
That's right. I remember when we started, it was quite totally new, and we had a lot of people in our office to tell what was so special about the fiber optics. But after a while, it turned out that we knew more than they did, actually. And we started using it, and then now you see it anywhere. But I think we were one of the first to do it, yes.
And of course, Roy reminds us that ships move, museums don't.
But it's also, the ship is on a very, can be on high seas, so which you don't have in museums. So that's an extra effort I think we put into it. And it took us quite a while to find methods of mounting artworks without actually ruining them or just like you said, screwing right through them in the floor. It takes us a long time. That's why we usually have something like 1.5 year preparations to get all the artworks changed and made special pedestals and that sort of things to actually mount them on the ship in a way that nobody can see it and that the artworks are not ruined in one or another way.
In fact, Roy told us that the lighting they use in the displays is fiber optic, so it doesn't generate heat. Museums have actually come to Holland, America to learn some of these techniques. Chapter 15, Deck 2, Lower Promenade Deck, Midships. Continuing aft on the tour, you'll pass the midships elevator lobby, and just before you get to the atrium, on the starboard side, you'll see two silver goblets. They're very elaborate with inlaid precious stones and metals. Well, they're creations of Rodolfo Sanz. He's an artist who divides his time between Rotterdam and Buenos Aires. He's known for the quality of the tiny details in his work.
I went to Buenos Aires the last time. I said, well, I have an opportunity to make something in Buenos Aires. Finally, I'm come back with material, with everything. I'm start to work. It was really difficult to have a big object, and you need to transform a big object. More in this kind of work, because, you know, it's a little details. Same object, but in the same times, different.
Chapter 16, Deck 2, Lower Promenade Deck, Atrium, Midships.
Now we come to the atrium, and perhaps the most important piece here is the crystal centerpiece made by Waterford. Waterford chief designer Billy Canning explains how they designed this for the Noordam.
The Noordam was a combination of all four Vista ships. So what we wanted to do was put an element of each ship that we had done, each atrium piece that we had done, into the final piece. So what we did was we did a compass kind of come gyroscope, effectively, and each arc of the compass is again crystal, and on the points of the compass on the north, south, east and west, which is what Zuider, Ooster, Wester and Noordam stand for, and Noor stand for in Dutch, we have the logo, a little reflection in engraved crystal of the piece that we did on each ship. So it's a little story within the piece itself.
Canning told us that it took about 6 months to create this piece, and it was done entirely by hand in the Waterford workshops in Ireland. Do you know the whole thing weighs several tons? Chapter 17, Deck 2, Lower Promenade Deck, Midships Atrium.
As we resume our stroll aft, check out the ship model at the entrance to the pinnacle grille. This is one made of bone and is called a prisoner of war model because of the style in the 18th century. It was common for sailors who were captured or stranded to make ship models out of bone, the only material many had, and then sell them for some income. Look at the intricate and accurate detail and think for the moment of the hours and skill that went into this model. Now, inside of the wine bar of the Pinnacle Grill are some very interesting and comfortable works of art.
Paul, those are red leather armchairs.
Well, yes, but they're works of art. And furniture can be artistic, especially when they're original works made in cast aluminum by Gilbert and Roger. The idea is to convey the comfort and elegance associated with the enjoyment of fine wine. Each one is unique and made by hand.
Remember we told you to look up often? Well, here, the design on the ceiling of the wine bar is by Mina Wu. The Dingemans art team discovered her when she graduated from college in Amsterdam. Her graduation show caught everyone's attention. She took worn clothing and created intricate embroideries around the torn spots. In her work, she consciously tries to mix her Taiwanese background into Dutch cultural influences. Now, she created the designs here and in the Pinnacle Grill with a ballpoint pen on paper. You'll see the same design that's on the wine bar ceiling is carried out in the fabric on the chairs in the grill. The almost severe elegance of the design is balanced by the Baroque quality of the lighting fixtures. Think of the ship interior as a complete design statement. Well, Paul, I guess you could call that art as well.
Yes, indeed. Carolyn Nilisch of the Dingemans design team is very optimistic about Mina's talents.
There's a very young artist here in the specialty restaurant, and I like her work very much. She's from Taiwan, and I think she will make it in the art world.
Now, while you're here in the atrium, take a slight detour. Use the elevators, they're just forward of the atrium, and go down to deck one, the main deck. The tour will begin again by the front office. We have a treat in store for you. Chapter 18, Deck 1, Main Deck, Midships Atrium.
Just opposite the front desk is a lithograph of Queen Beatrix by Andy Warhol. It's one of four that Holland America owns. Warhol also did portraits of Chairman Mao and Princess Grace, along with other members of royalty. His idea was to portray celebrities as famous brands. Remember the Campbell soup cans? If you want to see all four, well, you start booking your cruises now. Each Vista-class ship, the Westerdam, Oosterdam, Zuiderdam, and the Noordam has one. It's one of the few complete sets in existence.
Now come back upstairs to Deck 2, the lower promenade deck, and return to the atrium.
And continue heading aft, past the art gallery, to the Explorer's Lounge on the starboard side. You'll find a lot of art to enjoy here.
Chapter 19, Deck 2, Lower Promenade Deck, Explorer's Lounge, aft. Well, you know you've arrived, since on your right we come across seven lovely maidens. These are caryatids, and they're garden statues from 19th century Europe.
You can almost imagine them on a balcony holding up a railing in a garden somewhere maybe in Provence.
Oh, sounds wonderful to me. Well, now here in the Explorer's Lounge, you'll see a small oil painting of some Dutch fishing vessels from the 19th century and an interesting painting of the city of Utrecht with a Dom Tower in the background. But sure doesn't look like that now, the city, I mean, although the tower is still there.
Personally, I like the large mural of Figures in an Italian Landscape. It dates from 1800 and was painted in the Netherlands, probably by an artist who had never been to Italy. It's rather his idea of Italy.
Absolutely. Well, and for you geography buffs, there's some antique globes representing the Earth and the stars. Those are from 1803.
Now, continuing aft, you'll arrive at the entrance to the Lower Vista Dining Room on Deck 2, the Lower Promenade Deck. When you have time, during a meal, take some time to appreciate the art that you'll see here.
Chapter 20, Deck 2, Lower Promenade Deck, Lower Vista Dining Room, aft. Just outside the entrance, notice the magnificent copy of an angel sculpture from the 18th century and a pair of Italian corner columns. They really show some great workmanship.
You should also notice the pair of wood reliefs from the Noordam III, one of a man on the starboard side and a woman on port. And also here in the lower dining room, we'll begin to see a floral motif that, well, it accents this section of the tour. You may think this first painting is an enlarged photograph, but it's actually called Pink Rose II, and it's a painting by Stefan Bronniger. He's from Germany, and the huge scale of the flower gives it an extra dimension.
And in the dining room, there are two elements that are especially noteworthy in both the upper and lower dining rooms: the floral ceiling and the still life paintings on the walls. There's a story to both.
Now, don't forget to look up to the ceiling in the dining room. It's a creation of Frans Dingemans and a workshop in Holland that specializes in high-tech space-age materials. They would have used glass, but weight was a factor, so they created special materials that met all the requirements for a ship and yet still look like glass sculptures when lit at night. It's new technology that dazzles. And the best time to see the ceiling, well, it is in the evening, when it's lit with hundreds of fiber optic lights. Just remember to look up from all that great food you're eating.
Now it's time to head up one deck. Dividing the Vista Dining Room is a staircase that takes you to the Promenade Deck and the Upper Vista Dining Room on Deck 3, aft. Chapter 21, Deck 3, Promenade Deck, Upper Vista Dining Room, aft. Now the story about the paintings. Giuseppe Leonardi is a famous European still life painter. When Frans Dingemans approached him to do these works, well, he wanted something different.
And we go from left to right and we start adding color to it. So on one side we have, the table disappeared, so it is floating and it's coming from complete white with shadows of the fruit. And suddenly a little bit of color is adding, and then you end up with colored grapes. So you see the whole process, and it adds something artistic. And he's very proud that his paintings are hanging out in the dining room the way they are.
According to Dingemans, when he first proposed the idea to the artist, well, he wasn't enthusiastic, but he changed his mind as he worked. The paintings deserve to be seen up close, so take some time to study the detail and technique. Incidentally, they're painted on aluminum panels. Chapter 22, Deck 3, Promenade Deck, Atrium, Midships.
Now continue forward on the Promenade Deck, Deck 3, past the photo gallery and into the atrium. You get a better view of the Waterford centerpiece from this level. See if you can see the engravings on the compass points that Billy Canning mentioned.
Well, that pretty well winds up the formal part of our tour. It's time to head back toward the front of the ship to the Explorations Cafe, our starting point. That's where you can return your iPod if you borrowed one.
Well, sadly, we have come to the end of the art tour, but your art experience with Holland America doesn't have to end here. You can download podcasts of our tours on other Holland America ships from the website at hollandamerica.com. And do continue your art experience aboard Nerdam. You're sure to discover more art as you continue your cruise.
Holland America Captain John Scott finds that exploring the art is something many people really enjoy.
We have fantastic artwork on our ships, and the regular guests notice it, or people who have cruised with another cruise line and then perhaps come to us and having cruised a couple of times somewhere else and say to us, wow, you've got a phenomenal amount of artwork, beautiful artwork. If people come to us first of all, they will just say, well, that's just normal artwork on a cruise ship. It's not till, and then they will go perhaps with another cruise line and then come back to us later and say, you really have got some superb artwork, and a lot of it, because we do have superb artwork and a huge amount of it on board each ship.
Now, we have some homework for you. Oh, don't worry, it'll be fun and easy. We hope we've given you a sense of how extensive the collection aboard the Nordam is and how much fun it can be to explore it.
So if you want to continue exploring during your cruise, well, here are some things to look for. An elephant disappearing through a wall. A chair made to look like a violin. And a half-finished ship model. Oh well, just go exploring. You'll find it great fun.
We've really enjoyed spending this time with you and enjoying the art on the Nordam.
I'm Paul Lasley.
And I'm Elizabeth Harriman. Have a wonderful cruise.